Joining me now is Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim, he was with us the other night. If you'll remember correctly, his church and Christian school, they were looking at thousands of dollars in fines and potentially 18 months in jail for not following the mask mandates. We promised that we would take his story and turn it into an article, and we did at worldviewtimes.com. You'll see it there, worldviewtimes.com. And we put his story up as standalone at frankspeech.com. And so, again, I hope you guys have helped to circulate his story to bring attention to it. But we asked him if he would come back tonight after an emergency meeting in his community today for them to decide what it is they were going to do about his church and Christian school. Joining me now is Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Brandon, thank you so much. It's been pretty exciting around here, and I just want you to know that I have been receiving emails and phone calls from all over the United States. I just, even people I haven't heard from for over 20 years, and that's not even us trying to reach out to them. It is spreading everywhere, and it's been absolutely astounding, and I want to thank you so much for helping us get our story out there.
Well, thank you. Thank you for trusting us to get it out there, Pastor.
Yeah,
it's our privilege. So what happened this morning with the emergency meeting?
Man, it was really hard to take. Even as late as yesterday, they switched it from an open meeting, an emergency meeting, where our families and our parents could go and they could give their point of view, I could speak. And they changed it yesterday to an executive session, which wasn't private. So they went off into their own room and they had their discussion and they came out with their decision. The reason why it was such a struggle for me today, today was the most, can I say this, infuriating day in the entire process.
Wow.
Up to this point, because here's how it unfolded. We had over 200 people. Some people think there were 250 people came out to support us. We even had some people that live 4 and 5 hours away because of what was going on through the through the interview that we had the other day. And so we're sitting in that room and everyone's trying to be in their best behavior. I told everyone, let's just remember that this is a Christian school, so let's represent that well. And there were a few outbreaks, but we tried to keep that quiet. So they come out, the county commissioners, and at the very end then, they tell their side of the story. Let me just say this. Their one-sided story of unfolding events at our school. Then after that, a couple of commissioners spoke, and I'm going to tell you something. We sat there, and our parents sat there silently, while then, I just have to tell you, it was nothing less than a lecture. And it was condescending, and they told us how disappointed they were in us. And so here we are, we're sitting, over 200 people, parents silenced again, because the voices and the values of parents are not respected in Eagle County, nor are they respected in the whole public school system. So while I'm so proud of our parents that they sat there quietly, because I could barely contain myself, and then we were like children as they spoke to us, and then they wrapped up the meeting, and we were not given again an opportunity to tell our side of unfolding events at our school, nor were parents allowed to be able to express themselves. You know what? Just even this last week, one of the parents called the county commissioners, and so she was speaking to a gentleman there. I don't know which commissioner that it was. And as she was speaking to him, a mother in the preschool was trying to explain to him why it is so important for her as a mother and her maternal instincts. No, that's not respected. Because they had their science, and they were going to pound her with science. And you know what? There's science on their side of the mask issue, and there's amazing studies coming out, even from Brown University as recently as the last couple weeks. But you know what? He won the argument, because that's all that mattered to him. A mother of a little child in a preschool saying, please don't make me mask my child at Cornerstone. And at the end of the process, he actually had her in tears. And then when she was crying, he told her at the end of that conversation, public health takes priority over your personal liberties. Mm-hmm. And that's how the whole conversation ended. And so in all these conversations, the idea of liberty and freedom and parental choice is being lost consistently along the way. And I just want you to know that Eagle County blew it again, and they just completely didn't want it, disregarded, didn't want to hear.
Can we get a copy? Can we get a copy of this to play clips of it?
I'm looking at our audio video guy. It's on their Facebook page today.
Okay, so Jill, go get that before they take it down, which I don't think they can under sunshine laws. Get that for me, please. It's Eagle County. It's the Eagle County Commissioners.
Yes.
So Jill, if you could get that down, or Logan in there, maybe communicate with Jill. One of you, Reagan. One of you guys in there. Whoever can get that downloaded. Maybe Annie. I got four people that could do this probably. Any one of you. You guys all have each other's text alerts list. Communicate with each other. See which one of you can grab that off the Eagle County, Colorado Commissioners Facebook page. We need that. We need to be able to play some of these clips. We will endeavor to play some of these clips tomorrow night, Pastor, where they're lecturing this mom. And you say that they said that public health trumps parental authority. Is that what I heard you say?
Yeah, that was in a private conversation between one of our mothers who called the county commissioners. And that's the clash of worldviews. And it's interesting to me that even when I was a couple months ago, maybe, talking to the health department director, he said to me, oh, you guys, you know, we're learning that out west, you keep talking about liberty. You keep talking about freedom. And we're trying to learn how to navigate all of that. And I was thinking, what is he talking about out west? Where is this gentleman from? Then later on in the conversation, I find out he's from Boulder, Colorado, and Colorado University. Or maybe not Colorado University, but from Boulder. And I have to check what university he went to. But even from the Front Range, see, here's what's happening out of Denver. Denver wants to go after the Western Slopes, because that's where red country is. That's where people who value our First Amendment rights and our Second Amendment rights. We're very strong out here. So the target is actually Eagle County, because it's the gateway to the Western Slopes, where you have someone like Congressman Boebert, that she actually represents the 3rd District where we are here right now. So
she's your U.S. Congressperson?
Yeah, can you believe it? Because like we're in the same valley as Aspen, just west of us. You've got Mesa County, you've got the real patriots that are going out there, and then it spreads through to Utah, to Montana, to Wyoming, to Idaho, Western Washington. Those are the areas that are very red. So in all of this, we're finding out that they're being very strategic. They even rewrote the lines for the 3rd District where Lauren Boebert is, to try to preserve their Democratic strongholds, but to isolate her away from areas that feel as though they're so embarrassed to have her. And me personally, I'm very proud of her.
Oh, wow. Yeah, absolutely. I was startled there by someone talking in my ear all of a sudden. So if you help me jump, I got startled. So, Pastor, what did they decide to do with you guys? I mean, they're threatening you with 18 months in jail or thousands of dollars in fines. What did they decide what to do with you guys?
Well, it's really hard to interpret what happened today, but they're going to try it as a civil case and not as a criminal case.
Well,
if it was a criminal case, it would deal with something like we broke the law. Truth of the matter is, we're not talking laws, we're talking mandates. Also, that would include someone like me standing in front of a jury to defend what's going on. So they're going to try it as a civil case. So that means some of those threats that were hanging over us over the last several months, they might be able then to mobilize that more from a legal position and not from the health department, because they don't have the authority to actually chain our doors or anything like that. So I don't know what will come of it. It will reinduce the opportunity for them to fine us. As far as the threats of jail time, I don't fully understand. I'm not a legal guy. Listen, I didn't sign up for this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm just a pastor that's sitting in Colorado. But something is, God has over the course of my life developed me. And I feel like by the goodness of God and by the grace of God, that he has taken me on a journey so that I could come to this place right now where my mother was 17 years old when she was a missionary in Colombia, got shot just over her head in Colombia. It hit the gate when she was going in. Her mother had a nervous breakdown. They called her back. I was raised with that kind of brave person. You know what else? Her aunt and uncle, they were arrested in the Philippines for preaching the gospel. They were arrested by communists. They ended up in a Japanese like camp. And so that my aunt just told me today that what they did is that they were all lined up in this Japanese camp. And this is merely because my aunt and uncle refused to compromise and they preached the gospel. See, those stories of real people saying, I'm going to live out the gospel. I'm not contentious to talk about how great God is. I'm going to live it out and I'm going to believe in it. So my aunt told me today the story about they were all lined up, these prisoners. They were in a prisoner of war camp in Japan, and they were shoving tubes down the throats of the prisoners, and they were filling their stomachs with water, and then they were laying them on the ground and they were jumping on them, and they were praying because they were all these prisoner of wars. And my great aunt and uncle, who preached the gospel and paid a price for it, they were praying, and as they got up there for no reason at all, they stopped torturing the people, and the Lord rescued them. And you know, can I keep going a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is why this is so important to me, because at our Christian school, you know what? We can sit around and talk about how great God is, how powerful he is, how he will always defend us. Look what the stories are in the Bible. But then if our children watch us compromise, and even for a moment if we blink, and let them observe us, talking about the greatness of God, the power of God, the ability of God, the omniscience of God, and all such things. But they watch us cave, and they realize that in a moment when we were really being put to the test, and it really came down to what do you believe or what do you live? I think that if we just continue in our churches to be talking about the attributes of God, and yet at the very same time, we don't walk it out, we will give our children the kind of faith that has gotten our nation in the trouble that it is in right now. I heard a person say, we give to our children in the American church an ineffective and powerless Christianity that is just enough to vaccinate them. I love the idea. We give them a Christianity that's only powerful enough to vaccinate them so that they continue on in this faith that doesn't change the world and that the devil is not threatened by. And so that's why for our school, again, two more students, we lost them because of the pressures of what's going on at our school. But at the same time, if I just end up with a handful of kids that we have demonstrated to them that it's not enough to just talk about God, you got to live it out. And that kind of conviction, if it's just five kids in our school who live that way, so that my great aunt and uncle who've gone on to be with the Lord, but their story still resonates in my heart. And I hope that someday, if there's five kids who will say, I remember that there was a pastor and there were teachers who stood together and they stood up for what they believed in. And that's why I feel so passionate about all of this.
Well, I'm so glad you do. It sounds as though your family's history and heritage has prepared you for what you're going through today. You know, we're all standing on the shoulders of someone, right, who's gone before us.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like God has prepared you directly for what you're confronting today. And once again, we will put this up as a standalone at frankspeech.com so people can grab it, send it around. I want you to have your staff stay in touch with us. Anytime you need to come back, we want an update. I'm hoping by now you've gotten good legal counsel. If you haven't, the offer still stands to do a personal introduction to Matt Staver. Have you guys secured good legal counsel?
You know, we're still looking, and most of those civil liberty attorneys out there right now are fighting the vaccine mandates, and that's the kind of the word that we get from them. But
Have you contacted Matt Staver and the Liberty Council yet?
You know, I actually physically drove down to Colorado Springs in the hopes to be able to get in touch with him, and I got as far as what I believe was his executive secretary, and but again, you know,
Let me send this to Holly tonight. Let me send this to Holly as a personal assistant and see what I can do in putting you in touch with Matt Staver. We also have some other guys I can put you in touch with. We just got done, of course, with Tom Renz, who, what state is Tom in, guys? Do you guys know what state Tom's in? Well, we just had Tom Renz on here. So we know enough attorneys.
Yeah, I had reached out to him as well before. everybody's so busy on the civil liberty side of things.
Okay, well, let me see if a few of them will do it as a favor to us, okay? So I'm going to send this tonight to Holly with Matt Staver. We'll see what we can do. But you're telling me right now you don't have legal counsel?
Well, I have a lawyer in my church. He's a property lawyer, and he's absolutely amazing, very successful, but he's not a litigator. And then we did acquire an opportunity to connect with someone on the front range, but we still need to make sure that we land right on all of this.
All right. As soon as I get off the air tonight, I'm going to start sending texts around, all right?
Okay.
What you need to do is make sure that have I been texting with you or not? Have you and I been texting?
We spoke before the last interview,
so
we've been communicating with Logan.
Okay. Make sure you send to Logan your cell phone number so I can get one of these attorneys able to get right to you, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Because when I get off the air tonight, I'm going to start sending texts to these guys and calling them.
All right. Good.
I can't promise anything, but I'm going to put my shoulder into it, all right?
I'm going to tell you what. God's been with us every step of the way, and I know that however it works out, I'm just trusting the Lord in all of that.
Well, absolutely. We'll trust the Lord to open the doors and go before us and providentially lead the way. But this airway stay open to you to get out the message. So anytime you need to come back, even if it's the last minute, we're flexible. We can drop you in.
Okay. Thank you so much. You're a great resource for me.
Thank you, Pastor, for the update. We're all praying for you, guys.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor.